something that we can do to become more holy or more honest before you today than just to say to you, Lord, here I am. Take me as I am. And if we were really honest, we would need a lot of time to confess the things that we have done that have not been right in your sight. And so, Lord, we're thankful that we can gather together today, knowing that grace, which is undeserved, grace is found here as we look to you today. So we say this together, most merciful God, we confess that we are unworthy to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Has laid down his life for each one of us so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. We praise your name. Amen.
There is a truth over many ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is a thank you.
sure any couple that comes to me and talks about wanting to get married, I just say, you know what you're getting into. And they kind of chuckle and they go, oh yeah, he's my knight in shining armor. She's my damsel in distress. But I really believe that anyone who gets married on their wedding day has no idea what the future holds. The things that you will come into contact with, the things that you will have to deal with. It just kind of is that way. So marriage takes a lot of work, and it's always sad when something doesn't work out. And it gets to that point of a divorce. You know, statistics used to be that, you know, people who attended church, there was a lower divorce rate than those who did not. Today, it's not that way. There are just as many divorces in church, people who go to church, as those who don't. That's kind of the changes we've seen over the years. So don't think that it can't happen to you. Be on your guard. Because I'm sure everyone who's been before the Lord at the altar and gave their commitment and the vows to each other, everyone at that time said, it'll never happen to us. It does. And so we have here with Jesus being asked this question by the Pharisees. I want you to remember that he asks back to them a question. He says to them, let me turn my page back here. He says, what did Moses command you? Now the reason why Jesus brings up Moses is because he knows the Pharisees, they look at Moses as number one. If Moses said it's got to be from God. And so Jesus says, so what does Moses say? You'll notice that they never answer the question that Jesus asked them. But Jesus goes on, and he refers back to Moses, and Moses wrote the first five books in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are the first five books in the Bible, and Moses wrote those. They come from him. And what there's only one place in, it's Deuteronomy chapter 24, I believe. The beginning verses of Deuteronomy 24 it's the only place where it really speaks about divorce from Moses' standpoint. And there is where it said, he talks about that a man is to give a certificate of divorce. Now, keep this in mind. Moses, he did not want to do this. But he said he knew that it was, you know, a hardening of the hearts that it took place. And that also that during this time in history, the rabbis who were the teachers, the religious teachers of that day, there were two schools of thought about divorce. One was, only way you'd have divorce is if there was unfaithfulness or adultery. That is the only time that you could give a certificate of divorce. Also, at this time in history is where the woman had no say in anything. She was given in marriage, so it meant her parents told her who she was going to marry. The man had all the rights, and it was the man who had to give, he would give the certificate of divorce to his wife. And then another school of thought with the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, there's another school that if she burns your toast for breakfast, you can divorce her. So you got some extremes that are going on there. And so what happens here is when Jesus is bringing out to the Pharisees and to the teaching of the people, and it's something that they needed to hear as well, is that he goes back to Moses, and then he takes him back that even further. differences with one another, it doesn't make you an enemy. It's just what you have to just kind of talk it out and ask one another different questions. Ask back with a question like Jesus did to the Pharisees. So why do you ask this question? Or where are you coming from with this? It helps the guy to understand the mind of a woman. And I've been married 41 years, and I still don't understand a lot of things. I thought by now we would know things and be on the same page, and they go like, we don't. one day they're going to get married. And you don't know who they're going to marry and things that they're going to face. But they're going to be looking at, hey, well, how did mom and dad handle this? So then they'll kind of look at things that way. I don't think that happened with Emily. She's our daughter. And then marriage. Marriage is for life. That Jesus points back to. This is, you know, this is God's best. And I know it doesn't always happen that way. But God's best is always that he wants you to have a great marriage, a great time together, learn a lot of things about each other, experience a lot of things together. But it's for life. But realize, too, it's not the unpardonable sin. If it happens, it happens. And I'm sure you did everything you possibly could do to keep that from happening, and it probably didn't work. So it's the hardest thing for a pastor is helping someone who's going through some marital issues and problems that have been going on for many, many years. And then they expect you to come and save it. I only can count on one hand how many couples or that has happened, and I just kind of go like, well, don't give me the credit. God needs to have the credit, because he's the one that did things in your life that I could not have done. Like, I just was an instrument in helping you to see some things that you were blind to. So, one of the things that does take place when there is within a divorce, and something I've seen over and over again, it's a hardening of the heart. Someone has hardened their heart to the point where it'll make the other person harden their heart toward him or her. And don't ever let that happen. Don't ever let there be a hardening of the heart. But may that heart always be open and receiving and loving. And to always know you're a servant. You're a servant to the one whom you love. Because not because you have to, because you want to. I enjoy serving. If you serve her, it's like serving yourself. And vice versa. So Jesus talks about in the beginning of creation, God made the male and female. Now this is God's idea. It's not my idea. It's not man's idea. God did this. He's thinking about us. And we're to leave your father and mother and be united as a couple. Sex is now permitted. go through a divorce and that you have a broken heart. It's rough stuff. But you need to turn to God, turn to His love and His forgiveness, because only He can give you a new heart and will give you a new start. And I'll never disappoint you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've always, it's who you are. You always want to give us the best. And even if we fail, Lord, there are some great things you can do that we probably never even thought of or heard of, or just say, I don't believe God can help me here today. But you can, and you will. So just help us to look to you and rely on you, Lord, and help us to learn things about ourselves that maybe have taken place that we are ashamed of, or things that we wish we wouldn't have done or wouldn't have said, but you know, that's the past. Lord, you forgive, and you don't bring up the past. You just say, let's move on forward together. And so that's our prayer today, Lord, as well, that you strengthen the married relationships that are here today. You strengthen the relationships of everyone that is here today. And that we all desire that we want the best. Help us not to settle for the second best or the third, but we want the best. And you will always come through. You'll never disappoint us when we put you first in all of our lives and in our relationships and in our marriages as well. And so we just leave this in your hands today, Lord, and thank you for Jesus and answering this question in a kind of a roundabout way, but going back to where it all begins, back in the beginning of your word. And that is the best. And so help us, Lord, if there's any marriages here that are struggling today, that today is not too late, but it's a day to begin. There can be a new start today in helping the relationships that are going on here. And so we just ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. We will move into our communion service. Just want to let you know that we practice an open communion, which means you do not have to be a member of Harbor of Joy to take communion. If you would like to have communion, it's up to you. The Lord Jesus invites us to come to His table. He takes you just the way you are. And we just would ask that you would have a relationship with Jesus, that you know that Jesus is who you come. If you would rather not come, that's fine too. And, I just want you to know that, hopefully. and the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread,